That song was a combination of memories from Will and myself. As we wrote that song, we thought back to what Christmas meant to us. And for me, one of the things that made Christmas Day memorable was the fragrance of food in the house. We would start early. We would start with breakfast and all the Jamaican fixings. We'd have ackee and saltfish and bami and dumplings and just you name it. The house was Jamaica in Miami. And then you have to start dinner because oxtail takes a long time to cook. So you have to start it right after breakfast so that it can be ready for dinner time. And that was how I knew it was Christmas Day. When my kids were growing up, we didn't have a lot of money. I didn't have a lot of time. And so over Thanksgiving break and winter break and spring break, I would ask them, what is it you want me to cook? What are your favorite things? And so whatever they requested that year, that's what I would make over that break. It wasn't just because I like to cook. I do like to cook. But it wasn't just because of that. It was because it was my expression of love to them. And sometimes it's something simple like that, just a favorite food, just taking the time to do something, make something, say something that is an expression of love. So the talk title is, What's Love Got to Do with It? Spoiler alert, everything. So I'm going to call on you throughout service, and I'd ask you that very question. I'm going to say, what's love got to do with it? And you respond, everything. Okay, so we're going to practice. What's love got to do with it?
Everything.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Excellent rehearsal. So we're going to do another visioning exercise, kind of similar to meditation. And heads up, I'm going to ask you to visualize something a little strange, something we don't necessarily do at Unity. You can close your eyes or keep them open, your choice, whatever feels good to you. I want you to visualize someone that you hate. I know, very un-Unity. Someone, if you don't hate anyone, someone you might resent or hold anger towards. Okay, there is a purpose to it. So as you are visualizing that person, visualizing an interaction with that person, notice how your body feels. Okay, and now, visualize someone you love. Okay, I could feel the energy shift in the room just by saying that. How does your body feel now? Notice the differences in the way that the energy is in your body. Notice the differences in the way that your muscles are interacting with your body when there was hatred or when there was love. Take a deep breath, exhale, and let it go. So some people will say that hate and love are opposite feelings. But I would say, just by doing that exercise, that the energy of hate and the energy of love were too similar to say they're opposites, right? But we are going to focus on love today. And focusing on that love and that hate piece made me think about the Unity principle about seeing the face of God in everyone. And quite honestly, that is the Unity principle that I have the most trouble with, because there are some people I just can't bring myself to see the face of God in. So I'm working on that, but whenever I have something that I'm working on and I have difficulty understanding, this beautiful universe gives me the opportunity to understand even more. And so in that exploration, I came across the concept of karuna. Karuna means compassion, and it's one of the divine abodes of Buddhism. It's also defined as the desire to see others free from suffering. So that concept isn't hard to understand, the desire to see others free from suffering. Okay, but the application can sometimes be a little bit harder. And what I mean is, think back, you don't have to feel it, but think back to that person you thought of when you thought of hating someone or resenting someone. And now think back to seeing them free of suffering. Think back to compassion, but specifically apply it to that person. And then karuna becomes a little bit more challenging for some of us. When you're cultivating karuna, you encourage compassion to all sentient beings, not just the ones you like. Karuna is the desire for all sentient beings to be free from suffering. So yeah, when you say compassion, it's a little bit easier than all sentient beings being free from suffering, but that's the point. There are some people that are easy to love. You don't have to put any work into it. If you tell me that you see the face of God in Tempe and Jody, I'm going, yeah, me too. Okay, what's the new information? If you tell me that you love Sebastian Metabear that's in our booth, who doesn't? You get the picture. I could go through the whole congregation because you all are easy to love. But when you're cultivating karuna for people that you have difficult relationships with, that's when other people can take a breath at the healing energy and the presence of the divine resonating from within you because of that challenge. So, what's love got to do with it?
Everything.
You're right. So it got me thinking about the work that I do as a DEIJ practitioner, diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice. And in that work, everything begins with self. You can't just go into the world, I'm going to change the world, and you haven't examined yourself yet. Because your unexamined biases, your unexamined privileges, your unexamined prejudice, that can harm people. And you would have no idea because you didn't start with self. Okay, you have to do the work. The same is true for karuna. How can you extend karuna to other people, whether you like them or not, if you haven't developed karuna within yourself, for yourself? Karuna is healing energy, and it's active. So last week, Reverend Richard said that peace is a verb. And today I'm telling you that karuna is not just compassion, but it's active compassion. It is ongoing work that is both internal and strengthened with prayer, reflection, meditation, all the things we believe in, and also a physical extension of your heart. In other words, the fifth unity principle, the truth we know is the truth we demonstrate, or quite simply, action is needed. All of those strengthen your ability to cultivate karuna. So love yourself more. You receive more love. You become more open to receiving more love, and around we go. So it's not selfish to love yourself. It's a necessity, and it's ongoing work. But again, with all the things that we have going on in our lives, not just in the world, but in our own personal life, what's love got to do with it?
Everything.
Jesse Powers would agree with you. If you don't know, Jesse Powers is an amazing singer. Write down her name, look her up. She's a fantastic person, a sweet bundle of energy, and she has a song called Joy. And part of the song says, I feel joy when I'm happy, I feel joy when I'm sad. So if you're feeling empty, fill it up, because there's joy to be had. So what if we change the lyrics? I feel love when I'm happy, I feel love when I'm sad. So if you're feeling empty, fill it up, because there's love to be had. What do you think about that? The heart doesn't pump blood only when you're doing something good. The car doesn't only run when you're on a holy errand. I mean, some of us might wish the car would just stop and stop them from doing something silly, but it doesn't work like that. We can't love only when we're feeling happy. What if we were able to bring love into all aspects of our life and to all people that we encounter? No matter what fleeting or lasting emotion we're feeling, we can include love's presence when we speak to others, whether we're in conflict or harmony with them, sadness or happiness, it doesn't matter. We can constantly engage with love with intention. I feel love's presence every time I'm here. I feel a healing energy every time I walk into this space. I kid you not, this place has healed me more times than I can tell you. Whatever it is that I'm feeling, I come into this space and I feel healed. I have no choice but to pour that love right back into this community, and I do it with intention. And you know what happens? You already know because you're paying attention. Unity North heals me. I intentionally pour love into the community, and then I become ready to receive more love. And therefore, I can pour more love into the community. And that was hard for me at first. I didn't grow up receiving a lot of words of affirmation or a lot of compliments, and so receiving them here felt a little strange. Why are strangers talking to me? Well, they don't want to be strangers anymore, Danielle. They want to be friends and family. And if you allow yourself to love, if you love yourself, then you can recognize love when it greets you. So it takes time to develop for some of us, but the Buddha said, with dripping drops of water, the water jug is filled. And we are those dripping drops of water. Every act, every word, every thought fills that water jug. So what's love got to do with it? Yes, everything. And I think our Jewish friends have been telling us that. So in Judaism, our lives are a story of God's love. God created us in love. We live lives of love. We love God, we love our neighbors, we love strangers, we love humanity, and we live our lives with love and compassion. And I've read that the Jewish expression of love is a triangle. So love of self, love of another, and love of God. Now, in unity, we might say that that fosters a bit of separation of self and God and another, right? So we'll hold that in mind. The Christian faith says in 1 John 4:16, God is love. Three simple words, but we can unpack that. God is love. Well, the divine is love. The divine is within us. So therefore, we are love. The Hebrew scriptures, Leviticus 19:18, teaches us to love your neighbor as yourself. So going through those scriptures and remembering that we are one, so again, love your neighbor as yourself. If we are one, maybe that Jewish triangle, that expression of love looks something like this. Maybe it's more of a cycle. As we're loving ourselves, we can love others more. As we love others more, we can love ourselves more, and on and on and on. But you can't take out love of self. Then the circle stops, and it's a half circle, and that doesn't make any sense. That just messes up my analogy. But so you, you can see where we're going and how everything is connected. We have to love ourselves in order to love our neighbor. It might not be a direct commandment or a beatitude, but we have to love ourselves in order to love our neighbors. And honestly, there was still a nagging question in the back of my head. It's not the question you think it is. I'm generalizing, but if we know that we have to love ourselves, why don't some of us love ourselves more? And I think it's simple. I'm open to conversation later after the talk. But I think that it's because we haven't forgiven ourselves. For what? Well, that might differ for each person, and the list can go on and on. You might not have forgiven yourself for not being a perfect mom. Guilty? You might not have forgiven yourself for not loving others when they loved you. For not feeling worthy of love, even if it's your own love. You will have to put thought into that question. What do I need to forgive myself more? I can't answer that for you. But it does bring us back to Karuna. It comes to cultivating compassion for all sentient beings, including yourself. And if you remember correctly, starting with yourself. That could look like taking care of yourself, protecting yourself, nourishing yourself physically and spiritually, being kind to yourself. Even just looking at 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. Are you patient with yourself? Love is kind. Are you kind to yourself? It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Are we patient with ourselves and not easily angered at something that we did? It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil. And you could replace that with wrongdoings, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. Trust yourself. It always hopes. You have to believe. And it always perseveres. So we must love ourselves to love others because we are one. What happens to one of us happens to all of us. So what's love got to do with it? Of course, if we want forgiveness in our lives and in the world, we need love. If we want healing in our lives and in the world that desperately needs it, we need love. If we want peace in our lives, we need love. So what choice do we have but to love ourselves and one another? So I'm going to call the band back up. And as the band is coming up, I want to introduce you to a new term. Well, it was new to me, and it won't be new to you after you hear about it. That's how it works. This term is called Kaizen, change for the better. Okay, it's a Japanese term, a Japanese way of thinking that obviously is talking about change. But it's not like a New Year's resolution where you try to change something big all at once, right? And then on January 3rd, you're like, oh, why did I come up with this resolution? It's not that. It's more like taking a small step to be better every day, getting 1% better every day. In the grand scheme of things, that's not a lot. Even this picture, that is more than 1% growth in each flower. So we're just looking for 1% growth. So I'd like you to take out the notepad in front of you, or you can take out your phone and go to the notes section, but go ahead and do that. And there's a pen in the seat pocket in front of you as well. Tom is gonna play for us. While we think about one step that we can take to love ourselves more, not to love others more. We do that a lot here at Unity North. We love others, but we're talking about ourselves because it starts with self. So what is one thing that you can do today to practice Kaizen? Let's take a minute to think about that and write it down or put it in your notes section. And I will let you don't have to share this with anyone, but I will tell you what my 1% is. So as I said earlier, I didn't get a lot of words of affirmation or compliments when I was little. And I found that I don't look in the mirror. If I am putting on makeup, I will look at my eyes and put my eyeshadow on, and that's it. I don't really look in the mirror. So my commitment to be 1% better, to love myself, is to love what I see in the mirror and actually look in the mirror every single day. So with that note that you wrote, I want you to hold on to that. You can have an accountability partner, someone who checks in on you, did you do your 1% better today? And then you can ask them the same. But let's just be 1% better. So I'll ask you one more time, what's love got to do with it?
Everything.
Absolutely everything. Ashe.